Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live this Friday evening taking your calls at 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines here at the top of the hour, and you know what that means. Plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you've got a question about a scripture passage, or maybe there's something that you heard in church recently and you're still scratching your head, wondering about it, then let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but it's been a while. Well, we'd love to hear from you as well. Toll-free across the United States and Canada, that number, 877-655-6755. Maybe you've got a personal problem going on in your life right now, in your marriage, with your kids, or in your church, and you're looking for that grace-based perspective. That is exactly why we are here this Friday evening for you. So again, give us a call. Wide open lines. Two open lines remain. So that means there's still room and you'll be sure to get in. Go for it. Join us right now. 877-655-6755. We're going to start out tonight and we'll talk with Bernice living in Ontario, Canada. Hey, Bernice, so you're on the air. What's on your heart tonight?
Hi, Andrew. I've listened to you for a few years. I catch you on Neil Barr on Live, and I've spoken with you several times before.
Yes.
And anyway, this is in regards to Father's Day coming up. I'm thinking a lot about this. I have seven brothers, but five of them are not with the Lord, walking with the Lord, and they've all had issues with my father before he passed away, unresolved issues. So trying to reach them or trying to talk to them about the Lord, it's talking about a heavenly father with an earthly father and the comparison. And I'm wondering, in any of your books, do you address that, the
okay.
father's love? You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Yes. Well, first of all, I think that what might be effective in communicating with them is for you to share your story, for you to share with them what it means to you personally to have a heavenly father who loves you the way that he does. And you don't have to throw your earthly father under the bus or anything, but just talk about how having a perfect and perfectly loving father has made an impact in your own personal life. And as you talk from that place of vulnerability, perhaps you experienced some things with your father that put you in a place of some pain at times, or, you know, no father on earth is perfect, no mother is perfect. So sometimes you can build a bridge with someone who has experienced a similar pain by sharing your story and then talking about how God has really brought about healing in your life. And so you might consider how you would have that conversation at the right time and in the right way, of course, motivated by Christ living in you, and telling the truth in love. But as far as a resource, it sounds to me like you're most describing our book, The Hurt and the Healer. It doesn't specifically talk about father-son relationships a lot, but it does talk about how those around us fall short. They don't meet our expectations. They wound us. We end up carrying labels of being no good or not good enough. And those sort of issues of being categorized and being labeled and being dismissed or rejected or feeling insufficient or inadequate or not enough, not measuring up to what others demand of us. All of that is addressed in the book, The Hurt and the Healer. I know you said you've been connected with us for a few years now. I believe I've met you in person. I remember you. So if you don't have this book yet, then we would love to get you a copy. You're welcome to stay on the line, Bernice, and we'll send you a free copy up there in Canada. And you can check it out if you don't already know the book. If you're not already familiar with it, feel free to just hang on the line, give our call screener your information, and we'll have a copy sent to you for you to look through first. And then if you feel like it would be an effective tool at the right time for your brothers, then pass it along to them as well. But I think starting with your story, your life, and how having a Heavenly Father like we do has impacted you, well, that's your testimony, and nobody can take it away. And sure, they don't have to agree with you or believe the way you believe, but they will respect you as their sister. They will respect your story, especially when it involves Dad and how Dad fell short, as every human does, and what God has done in your life in terms of healing. So, Bernice, that's my advice for you. I hope that helps, and please reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, well, let's go now to Louisiana, and we'll talk with Keith. Hi, Keith.
Hey there. How are things going, man?
Hey, doing great. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Just been listening to a lot of your teachings. I tell you, it's just really been an eye-opener to what I wish more churches would teach on the stuff that you teach, like the whole scriptures. And believe me, I've been in churches where they don't, especially out of the book of Hebrews.
Right.
But anyway, out of 2 Corinthians 7:10, when it says godly sorrow brings repentance and leads to salvation and leaves to no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Does that mean like someone who keeps sinning and saying I'm sorry, but even though they have a sin struggle, basically? I mean, what and keep going back to the same thing, basically?
Yeah, Keith, essentially that could be one meaning of it. I mean, it says the sorrow of the world or worldly sorrow produces death. I think it could be that insincerity where someone's sorry, 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 and then they do it again, and they're sorry again, and they do it again, and they don't know the Lord. I mean, that's the bottom line here. This person doesn't know the Lord. And so if they're in Adam, if they're still unsaved, if they're unregenerate, if they're the old self, if they don't have Christ living in them yet, then all they have is the sorrow that the world produces. So it could be just a blanket sorrow of look at my misery. Look at the sorrow that sin has brought me. Look at the sorrow that my sinful choices have brought me. And what a shame it is to be in that place of a sorrow brought on by sin, and meanwhile rejecting the solution, rejecting Christ. And so if you look at this, just backing up a little bit in 2 Corinthians, what we really see here is a situation. I mean, Paul is saying in the previous verses, though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. So those are two different sorrows. There's the sorrow of the lost and the sorrow of the saved. There's the sorrow that produces death among lost people. And then there's this healthy sorrow of regretting sin. And I think it's so awesome that you brought this question to our program tonight, because, you know, people miss this. Somehow they keep asking, well, are you just saying because we're totally forgiven, because we're totally cleansed, because we're totally righteous and accepted and loved, that our choices don't matter? Are you saying behavior is irrelevant? Are you saying just go out and sin? And time again, I mean, I feel like it's almost every night on the radio, we have to remind people, no, 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 come on now. Let's use our godly common sense here. You can be totally forgiven and miserable. You can be totally righteous and yet miserable. And so this would be a good description of that. When a person is choosing sin as a believer, they're totally forgiven, but they're filled with sorrow. And it's a godly sorrow designed to bring them to repentance, meaning a change of mind resulting in action. And when that change of mind occurs, when they change their mind about the fruit of this, hey, this is just bringing nothing good, and I want God's best, and so God, I'm looking to you. I want to bear the fruit of the Spirit. I want what you want for me. I want healthy living and thinking, and so I'm going to depend on you now. Well, when we make that choice, it's a pretty big deal. We go from totally forgiven and miserable to totally forgiven and fulfilled. And so it's never our forgiveness that is in question. It's never our righteousness that is in question, but it is our level of contentment that is in question. You can't be the righteousness of God and then choose sin and expect to find fulfillment. You can't be born of God, born of the Spirit, born from above, a partaker of the divine nature, a new creation, one with Christ, united, one spirit with the Lord, and then go out and sin and expect to love it. It's not going to happen. Sure, the flesh loves it, and you might be duped, you might be deceived for 5 minutes or 5 hours or even 5 days. Some people live in denial for 5 months. Maybe they're in a lifestyle choice, living with someone they shouldn't be or whatever. They live with that for 5 years. But inside, there's always that churning. And the mistake they make is they think that churning is just God. Well, that's just God telling me what to do. God's coming down hard on me. What you need to realize is, no, it's not just God. It's you. It's your new heart. It's your new spirit. It's you in union with Christ. You're not made for sin. And so it will never sit well. It will never sit well with you. You are dead to sin and addicted to Jesus, and you can't get away from it. You're a slave of righteousness. I mean, just think about that terminology. Connected, harnessed to righteousness. Wow. And so we can't get away from that even if we tried. I often say you're going to prove your new identity in Christ one way or another. You're going to prove it by sinning and being miserable, or by depending on Jesus and being fulfilled. But either way, you prove that you're a new creation. You're proving your new identity either way, by sinning and being miserable, or by depending on Christ and being fulfilled. You've got a new heart, like it or not. And I think you do like it. But if you're a new creation, you're that slave of righteousness. You've got that new heart, that new spirit. You've got Christ living in you, motivating and animating every move. And when we go against that new default setting, you know, Paul asks this in Romans 6, how can we live in sin any longer? How can we? It's like it's almost impossible. He who began a good work in you is going to carry you on to completion. You can't get away from the momentum that God has built into your life when he put Christ in you. That momentum began. Now, I want to give folks a chance to comment or ask their question, 877-655-6755. We still got a couple open lines, and that means room for you and plenty of time on the clock right now. So go for it, an unusual open line or two right now at 877-655-6755. Wide open, so you'll be sure to get in. Well, the question that came in earlier was, what book was it that I was recommending? And that's The Hurt and the Healer. And I've got a number of books that we make available regularly to some of our callers who need help. But I wanted to introduce you to another book that we have as a resource called God Without Religion. And the subtitle of this book is, Can It Really Be This Simple? Now, it's probably been a year, maybe two, since I've talked about this book. But if you don't have this a copy of this one, let me tell you, I had the most fun of any book. I had the most fun writing this book. It is filled with humor. There are stories and analogies in there. One of them about my grandmother being late to her own funeral. Literally, a true story. My grandmother late to her own funeral. Now, if you don't get the book, I mean, that story alone is enough reason to get the book. But there are stories about laps around the Indy 500 track that I got to take. There's a person who tapped our phone line and charged the bill to us. All kinds of funny and true stories in this book. And along the way, you get to know your new identity in Christ. You get to know what it means to be a totally forgiven person, what it means to live under God's grace. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a fun trip for you. It's an adventure, and it's a great way to learn about the love and grace of God. So if you don't have a copy of this yet, get your copy on Amazon.com. The title of it, God Without Religion, Can It Really Be This Simple? All right, let's go to Missouri, and we'll talk with Brad. Hey, Brad.
Hi, Pastor. I'm so glad you just talked about the subject of godly sorrow, and I'm not real happy to tell you this, but I've been married 49 years, and quite frankly, what you were just talking about is something that I fall into with my wife always, and I really get irritated with her, and man, I'll start cussing at her, and I'm just wanting to testify that you talk about regret,
yeah,
and about those types of things. If I'm besieged by anything, it's with the very person that I've been married to for 49 years. And I so thank you for describing and commenting on that particular scripture, because I'll tell you what, I think about this all the time. Because yeah. I don't like it, and I do regret it. The real problem is not so much with me, because I truly understand God's grace. I truly understand once and all forgiveness. I truly understand what you've been ministering to me for 20 years. But she doesn't understand. She is of charismatic different types of ministries that we were both in over the years.
Yeah.
And man, it just, it's a difficult thing, especially when I see how much I hurt her, but yet at the same time, she really doesn't want to understand anything I believe in, because it's so just because of things, just one thing like that. I've been a good provider. I've loved my kids. I've done a whole lot of things that are very beneficial to a relationship.
Yeah.
But yet I'm guilty, and I want to thank you. And, I do repent, but it doesn't mean nothing to her. And it really kind of bugs me that it happens not continually.
Yeah.
But even when it does happen. So if you want to comment on that, and I so thank you for talking about it. And yeah. I just want to let you know the words mean a lot to me, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Brad. Well, we love you very much, brother. Great to hear from you. Brad is a caller who calls in every once in a while and always has great insight and good questions for us. And, Brad, I want to thank you for being so transparent about what's going on there with you and your wife and the interactions. I can imagine that thousands of husbands listening right now can relate to that. Sometimes we have the wrong tone. Sometimes we have the wrong response, and then we feel that tug in our hearts, right? And that's what's so beautiful about being in Christ, is that the Lord never leaves us alone to deal with stuff. He's always there in us and with us, united with us, and His presence is felt and experienced And as I said earlier, it's not just him, it's us. He made us new. So if you're a lover by nature, then when we do things that aren't love, there are going to be some alarms that go off inside, a system alert, if you will. And that's what you're describing there. And any Christian who's lived a day on this planet knows what I'm talking about. So when we get those systems alert type warnings inside, we can be assured that it's not just the Holy Spirit, it is our spirit. It's not just God's heart, it is our heart. Because he has made us new creations and we agree with him at the core. He's not asking us to go against our nature. He's given us a new one. He's not asking us to go against our heart. He's given us a new one. So what I then can do in approaching the next time is just be sensitive to that leading, the leading of my new heart, the leading of the Holy Spirit who dwells within, and let that dictate my responses. And I understand what you're saying. I mean, your wife has a different theology from you, a different background in the Pentecostal movement, and that can be challenging for the both of you in communicating about perhaps spiritual topics or anything. And ultimately, you're saying, hey, you know, I provide, I've been a loving husband, I've been present, I've been available, I've been loving over the years, for decades, and yet I mess up. I'm human, and I mess up in this one area of overreacting and blowing up and cussing and that sort of thing. And then you feel rejected because of that one failure. You feel like you're being rejected by her. And I'm sorry you have to experience that. Ultimately, though, I want you to know this. I mean, her decision about what she believes about Jesus Christ, about what she believes about the cross, about what she believes concerning the resurrection, the benefit of the cross, the benefit of the resurrection, how forgiven she is, how secure she is, how loved she is, how safe she is, and how complete she is, that she doesn't need a second experience, another blessing, another thing to occur in her life in order to stay okay with God. I mean, you living a perfect life would still not convince her of that. And so I know you've got the regret, and it's a godly regret. I know you've got the sorrow, and it's a godly sorrow for the times that you have communicated with the wrong tone. You've acted not in dependency on Christ. And we've all done that hundreds, thousands of times in our lives. We've committed many sins since we became believers. So you know that you're forgiven. You know the cross worked. You know Hebrews 10:14, by one offering, you've been made perfect forever. But I just want you to hear what you might be believing. Be careful of the lie that your wife would be persuaded to a different belief if you were just behaving more perfectly. And I think that's a lie of the enemy that he would use to accuse you and to get you down and depressed, to make you feel like your wife's spiritual choices are somehow on you and because of you. No, your wife is a mature adult. She's responsible for the beliefs she takes on. And you've expressed sorrow and issued apologies, I'm certain, and you continue to be sorrowful about the mistakes you've made in your marriage. No marriage is perfect. No one communicates perfectly. So I think, my friend, that it might be time to forgive yourself and to extend grace to yourself the way that God has extended that grace to you. And here's the ironic idea here. When you end up extending more grace to yourself and agreeing with God that you're forgiven and agreeing with God that you can't control your wife's beliefs and letting go of unrealistic expectations and extending grace to yourself, when you decide to forgive and release yourself, my friend, then guess what happens? I bet you can imagine. More and more throughout your life, going into the future, you're going to be gaining a new perspective on giving grace to others and forgiving them more quickly. We tend to reflect what we believe we're receiving from God. So continue growing in the grace of God. Let yourself off the hook. Don't let those unrealistic expectations control you, and put your dependency right back on Jesus Christ. Give thanks for your marriage. Give thanks for your wife, and give thanks for the beautiful forgiveness and the beautiful righteousness that you possess in Jesus, no matter what, and let that motivate you.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.